I'm Linda Dow, and today we shine the community spotlight on Hospice Hub Perth, and we welcome Executive Director Anne Jansen. Hi, Anne.
Hi, Linda. It's great to be here.
Thank you for coming in today. So, first of all, congratulations on your first year anniversary of Hospice Hub Perth.
Linda, I hate to do this. It's the Hospice Hub, and we serve the whole Perth, Westport, Smith Falls, Portland area. So we serve the whole area that is served by the Perth and District Hospital. I just want to make sure.
So saying Hospice Hub Perth is not correct. Is that
no,
what you're saying?
That's right.
Okay.
We have our area is much broader than that. Yeah.
Sounds good. Okay. I'll remember that. So let's go back a little bit and have you explain for us what a hospice is and how you got started.
So a hospice is a philosophy of care, really. It can be a residence as well, where one receives hospice care, but it's a philosophy of care that is holistic and provides care to somebody with a life-limiting illness, usually in the last 6 months of life. And it's care, when we say holistic, that means it looks at social, psychological, spiritual, physical care, and also holistic in the sense that it's not just for the client themselves, but for their family, and that's whoever they call family.
And this is where the hub comes in, because
yes,
you provide a lot of different services or connections to those services.
That's right. The hub is meant to be a place to connect end-of-life care. So we connect people and to the services and providers that can provide the most appropriate care at the right time and in the right place.
So what services are you offering right now?
Right now, we're offering advanced care planning, so preparing, and bereavement services, one-on-one or in groups. And we've been offering informally caregiver support and navigation support, and we will launch formally with our home support, so hospice care in home, in the next month or so. We're being very, very careful because there's a lot of little details to figure out. It's very patient-centered care, and it involves a lot of services in the community. So we have to make sure that it's done right. So we're not quite in the homes yet. But almost.
But this is an exciting project, and you've come a long way in a year, right?
Oh, it's been huge. It's super exciting. It's been a year since, well, a little bit longer. We just had our first AGM, and it felt like a real birthday party and a celebratory party.
Right.
So the community support has been massive. That was since March 2023.
Right.
So it has only been a year, yeah.
Now, what about staffing? Who does all this work?
We're a group of incredible volunteers. It's all volunteers. We have one wonderful staff person, Meredith Toivonen, and she works part-time in our office. And her expertise, she's also a younger one amongst us, and her focus has been a lot on the communications, on our website and helping get our posters out and also providing a lot of support for the work that I've been doing.
Okay. Now, this takes funding. Where does the money come from?
So the funding comes from all sources. There's very little funding actually that would come from government. We've been very fortunate to receive a grant for our bereavement services programs, which is why you also see that is the first thing that we've come out with. And the rest has been coming from the communities and grants that we're writing. So it's a very broad-based fundraising effort. Special events like the Hike for Hospice, that was incredible. The community support that came out for that and that donated for that. We're going to have another event coming up, the Polar Bear Plunge. We're the very proud recipient of the plunge on January 1st, 2025. That is one of our major funding events because that's also unrestricted funds. So it goes to where the need is most required.
Okay. So how much have you raised so far?
Well, I think you've just reminded me of what we have.
Did I?
I think we have $175,000 at the moment, which is incredible. Much of that is to say, though, that it's because so much work has been done pro bono, and we've received so much in-kind support. Like our office space in Perth is provided by the Perth Medical, the chiropractic clinic. And we have all these partners that are providing support as well. So
where is your office right now? Which chiropractor?
It's the 30. It's at 33 Wilson Street. The Perth Family Medical Center. I always call it the chiropractic center. Mm-hmm, so I'm sorry that Dr. Warren Hollis and his team.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we know where they are.
We know where they are.
Elaine and Warren. We know where they are. Okay, so that's great. So that's where you're working out of at the moment. what are you going to be able to do with $175,000? That's a lot of money.
It is, but as soon as you hire a clinical coordinator, yes, that's one full-time salary. We need a volunteer coordinator. At some point, an executive director will have to be paid.
Okay.
A lot.
And you're doing this for nothing.
Yes.
At the moment.
Most of us are. Well, I get a lot out of this, but I'm doing it not for cash.
Yeah, right. Okay, so what are your future goals now?
Future goals is to provide gold standard hospice care wherever someone calls home, within 3 years to have a hospice residence with 4 beds at least, which is the 4 beds that have been allocated by the ministry, and to have a very broad-based program that is providing a real hub of care throughout our community for people at end of life. So we'll have addressed the gaps that are currently existing.
Well, at the rate you're moving here and progressing, it looks like this will happen, right?
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
In what timeline, you said about 3 years or so?
Years is the goal for the residents.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But our day hospice should be opening up next year. So home support is still this year. Slowly but surely.
Okay.
Or steadily rather than slowly, I should say.
What steps have to be taken now to make this residence a reality?
Well, we have our ear to the ground. We're so community-centered and grassroots that there will be an opportunity that arises. Usually hospices, the residences come about through a donation. Either somebody donates the home, mm-hmm, somebody bequeaths a legacy, and they make it possible that way. So it depends. Or it's pure fundraising. It really depends on where the community's at, who might step forth. If you look at hospices around the country or in around Ontario, they're often named after somebody. And that's because one person wants this to be their legacy, or one family, or a consortium. You know, it could be a company. They want this to be their legacy. So it really depends on what opportunities arise.
Right. And then once you get the residents in place, is there any chance of getting any government funding for that?
Yes. So we have to provide the business case. If we have a residence, we basically have to show that we are able to fully have a functioning hospice.
Do what you say you're going to
do,
in other words.
Say what we're
going to do. Yeah.
And then they provide, the ministry provides funding for, it comes out to about 40% of the costs only for the staffing, for the 24/7 staffing of a nurse, PSW, for example. So yes, it's a huge piece that they would bring forward. There will also be funding to help build or renovate a building. If we can, so we would have to show that we have the other 50%,
right?
Which usually is about $1 million. So it's large, but I always say it's totally attainable. What we're doing is being done everywhere. It's surprising that we haven't done it here yet.
How urgent is the need for hospice care in our communities?
It's very urgent.
Okay.
You know, our hospitals are overburdened. People are dying in the hospital. They do not want to die in the hospital. Most people want to die at home. This would provide relief to the frontline workers in hospitals, to the frontline workers, the home care providers who cannot, they can't keep up. There's critical shortages everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know.
Are we reluctant to talk about this?
Less and less, I think. I think COVID actually had a big part in opening up the discussion about death and dying, and the need to be accompanied during death and dying, a lot of it is compassionate support and not medical support. There's only very little medical support that's required at end of life, if any. It's mostly the other 80%, if not 90%, is the care that is provided, for example, in a hospice residence or at home by families.
So let's just recap then. Who will use your services?
Anybody and everyone who is at end of life in our catchment area.
Okay. So for caregivers as well?
It's a huge respite for caregivers. People who are bereaved, people who are or grieving during the process. Yep. But it goes out into the community. It educates people all around. It just decreases the overall caregiver burden.
And what services are available right now?
Right now, bereavement support, advanced care planning, and navigation support.
And what are your needs at the moment?
Funding is always a need. Volunteers will always be needed. And people to talk about it. People to educate themselves. Because they're the ones that are going to be providing the community for each other.
So two things you wanted to mention. You already mentioned the Polar Bear Plunge.
Yes.
2025. You'll get the proceeds from that. That's
yes.
very generous.
Yes.
And something else, a palliative care info day.
Yes. This is an annual event that is organized by the Palliative Care Committee of the Perth and Smith Falls District Hospital. I'm on that committee as the caregiver representative, patient and caregiver representative. And this year, because I'm also with the Hospice Hub, we're partnering together to put a really great annual education day, a palliative care education day at the Oakfield Rugby Club, who are providing their venue for free.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have two fantastic doctors, palliative care doctors, who have been touring Canada and Europe with their new book, because they're real advocates for creating a revolution in palliative care from the ground up.
Wow. They educate
healthcare providers and the community, and they do it in such a fabulous way.
What is the name of the book? Do you know?
Hope for the best and plan for the rest. Thank you for the tip.
Okay, so we have about half a minute left.
Yes.
More information, if someone wants more information or to volunteer, what should they do? Go to your website?
Go to our website. Lots of great information on there. Of course, mm-hmm. it's under construction as always, but and also email info@thehospicehub.ca.
Sounds good. And thank you so much. You've got a lot of energy. You're doing an amazing job.
Thank you, Linda.
And thank you. I know how busy you are, so thank you so much for coming in today.
Likewise.
Really appreciate it.
And I'm grateful to this community who is listening to this, because it's with them that it's for them. It is, we are them.
Ann Jansen is Executive Director of Hospice Hub. And I'll leave out Perth because it's for the whole area, Portland, Westport, Smith Falls, all those outlying areas, correct?
Yes.
Thanks again, Ann.
Thank you.
And that's your community spotlight on LanarkLeadsToday.ca and 88.1 MyFM. I'm Linda Dow.